You're listening to the Taylor Report at CIUT 89.5 FM. And there is other news today, and somebody said 2 minutes, but I don't know what that is. And Phil, you were in, alerted me to the story this morning. It's from the New York Times, and it's very apropos of a lot of our discussion. This is the assassination in Burundi brings a vow of vengeance. Environment minister of Burundi was assassinated over the weekend, over the New Year's. He's not the first minister in that government to be murdered.
And I had to notice that the New York Times reports it and then explains to you what a bad government Burundi has. And I say, well, wait a minute. The person was assassinated, was part of that government. So why are you switching the subject in the article to how much you don't like the government of Burundi, which is what the article turned into?
They would not have done the other article otherwise. Yeah. And we have to point out, the headline is deceptive. It says assassination Burundi brings a vow of vengeance. It did not bring a vow of vengeance. According to their own story. By the way, people like to talk about false news. Well, this is how it's done. You're now attending the I.F. Stone School of Let's Get It Straight. What the story says in the text is President Pierre Nkurunziza called the killing an assassination. I'd like to know what else it was. And said on Twitter, condolences to the family and all Burundians. This crime will not go unpunished. That is not a call for vengeance. That's the New York Times spinning it so that if you put your commentators on tonight at CNN or wherever, they'll say this thing of vengeance and murder and vengeance and revenge, you see, is tearing the country apart. And therefore, as Samantha Power says, we all have to go and see if we can tear the whole place apart. Actually, he said what any responsible government says. The crime, the law has been broken, will not go unpunished. If you use the word vengeance, what you're doing is equating the criminal with the government. That's what you're doing. And it's cute. I got to hand it to them. These are skunks, and they know how to be a skunk. And so they know how to plant a twist in the story so that your mind goes wandering off in the wrong direction. And, of course, they do not mention that Samantha Powers and Obama have been trying to remove the government of Burundi, President Nkurunziza and his party. And they've gone to the trouble, Samantha Powers herself, to go and basically standing on the foot of the president and talking in an outlandish way, pure colonialism, pure old school, pure 19th century, sobbing Samantha comes and lectures an African leader about what he's to do. And, of course, as you pointed out, Phil, they have their line ready, which is that this is all caused, the problems of Burundi, which are not, by the way, that bad. What you have is an assassination bureau run out of Washington. And Burundi is doing quite well, actually. It's basically stable. But when you have terrorists, and terrorists always have intelligence links to major powers, they can come and knock off someone and say, oh, you see, you have a crisis in your country. And if you want to know, to make this easy on yourself, go and watch The Quiet American, Michael Caine, based on the novel by Graham Greene. Graham Greene was describing Vietnam and how the French and American meddled and caused mayhem and of immense proportions, loss of life, because of this meddling and committing terrorist acts. That was the whole point, was to say the U.S. Embassy had people who were spending a lot of time at night with the bad elements and killing people so as to create a crisis. And this is what's going on in Burundi. The U.S. is, together with neighboring state of Rwanda, which is run by a terrorist, Paul Kagame, and they are sending elements into Burundi whose only goal is to assassinate somebody and then say you have a crisis so that the Samantha Powers types can stand up at the UN and say, oh, we have to intervene. We got to go there. We have to do something. Send the troops. They almost got away with it about a year ago. But the U.S. seems to be losing its grip, not quite able to strangle as it used to be able to do. And so they have a problem. I guess the big question would be, well, you know, if you have a different president, will he handle it differently? And that I don't think we can predict. But what we do see with this assassination is that until you give them the order to stop, they will keep doing it because that's the mission, and they've decided to do it. Now, this happens to be, tragically, the anniversary also of the murder of a former Rwandan leader, Colonel Patrick Karegeya, who was interviewed, by the way, on the Taylor Report some years ago. We spoke to him. At that time, we were speaking to Patrick Karegeya about the attempt on the life of his comrade and friend, the former general, Yamwasa, who these two men couldn't have been closer to Paul Kagame. They were all very intimate. Now, these two, Patrick Karegeya and General Yamwasa, have said clearly and unequivocally Paul Kagame murdered the president of Rwanda, Habyarimana, at a time when peace process was underway and a democratization, a broadening of the political base of the country was agreed to and proceeding. But the RPF chose to murder Habyarimana so as to create a grand crisis where they could use their forces to take power, which is what they did. Now, because Patrick Karegeya and General Yamwasa got on the bad side of Paul Kagame, and I take their word for it, there was an honorable difference. They felt that his adventures in Congo, particularly, were getting out of hand and were potentially destabilizing the country and was against their principles. So he became unhappy with them, and they were lucky enough to escape the country, but they couldn't get away from his hired agents. And Patrick Karegeya was murdered on January the 1st, 2014. We spoke to his daughter about that. The family is convinced, of course, it was that Paul Kagame's people did it. It was heinous. It was typical. The professional assassin's way to do it. He was lured to meet an old friend at a hotel in South Africa, Johannesburg, and approximately, they're guessing, six or seven men entered, held him and throttled him. We should make further note that Paul Kagame publicly hissed and laughed and mocked over that and said, you see, you can't hide. If you give us a hard time, you come to a bad end. And his minister of interior, I think, I'm not sure Louise's position, Louise Mushikiwabo, of Chez Lando, the restaurant in Kigali, she actually went to the trouble to laugh at the survivors in the Karegeya family. So you don't really need any further evidence. I mean, at that point, you know what you're dealing with. These are not people capable of the appropriate markings of a civilized person. You don't cheer when people die and they're murdered in that way. And by the way, you put some emphasis on the idea you might not have done it instead of putting all the emphasis on, yeah, I probably did that, but you didn't catch me, which was a Kagame stance. So that's what we're dealing with today. And now we have this assassination in Burundi. And I would say this is a recognizable brand. And I do think the world is onto it. And which brings us to a third matter, which is related, which is that the president of Gambia is asserting his authority as president. He says that the elections that were held there have been miscounted or And I would tell you, the listener, or tell myself, I wouldn't know. I do know that when ECOWAS, and Phil looked it up for us, the Economic Council of West African States, says that this, because he is disputing the outcome of the election, that they should invade. At that point, you know that you've gotten onto the wrong topic. And ECOWAS is dominated by former employees of the World Bank and IMF. Look it up. I'm not, you know, okay. Ms. Johnson in Liberia was a former high-ranking employee of the World Bank. The guy running Ivory Coast, that was his credentials. He didn't have any political credentials. He used to be a World Bank guy. So they're all talking now that about how they might go over into Gambia. But I don't think this is going to go. I don't think this is going to work. I think it's going to blow up in their face. So let us all remember Patrick Kerrigaya, who was murdered in Johannesburg by agents of Paul Kagame, so that when we move into 2017 and Obama and Samantha Powers, we have let's call it a power outage at the UN. Then let's put new demands on them to stop trying to molest states that they don't like and give up the game of regime change. And if they don't give it up, let's hope they burn their fingers. You're listening to Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. There's one other item, and since we have about 6 minutes left, I think we have the music. I'm looking at Charlotte. I'm shoot. And this music is the Cuban. I'd like to remind everybody that the Cubans just celebrated their 58th year of their revolution, and that is to say their true independence. The original target of our time of regime change was Fidel Castro, and he's still laughing wherever he is. If we could play that, we'll do it, and we'll come back and say some more. That's definitely not the Cuban national anthem. I like the music, but I didn't want somebody to think that I don't know my my musicians. I can tell you who that was, by the way. That's Jimmy Byron. You know Jimmy Byron.
Yes, I do.
And he's got a new album, Transitions. And he's got a great song, which I think that was going to be, but I'm not quite ready for that. And it's called The Big Bad Wolf. And did you notice, by the way, there's a little Elvis in this.
Yes, yes. Well, I know Jimmy, and yes, he would like that sound.
Yeah, and so just take note. I want you to know there's an album that you should get. And I know that there's a place you can buy it. She Said Boom. You ever been to She Said Boom on Monsters Hill?
It's a great name, though.
That's the name of a bookstore.
Yeah.
And so who ever heard of a bookstore called She Said Boom? Well, you have now. It's on Roncesvalles. And I'll just look and see. Do we have the anthem? Are we going to have a shot at the anthem as much as we like Jimmy? Maybe not. At this point, I'm going to start whistling it, I think. There we are. Back, this Taylor Report. I got a kick out of that. It's 58th anniversary. Big crowds, by the way, turned out. And the slogan this year at the 58th anniversary of the Cuban Revolution was, "We are Fidel." I urge you, go online. You're not going to be reading about this in the Toronto Star, I promise you, or the Globe and Mail. So if you want to know more about it, go to Granma or do the thing that the mainstream media has asked you not to do, which is go on the internet and make up your own mind and look around. And you're free until they can hunt you down and turn off your power. I keep coming across that name, power. I actually don't like it. Now, it's been the Taylor Report. I want to thank Charlotte. I want to thank Phil. I want to thank Steve Sashuni, who our special guest from Latakia, Syria. And I want to tell you that Indigenous Waves is coming up, and I know you will enjoy it. And we'll see you next week.